of Redeeming Grace, 237.
Rejoice, ye saints, rejoice and praise the
together. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he hath respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endureth as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perisheth not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and of Samson, and of Japheth, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received the dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect.
Hall of Fame for this or that. In Chicago, they have the Broadcast Hall of Fame. I know there's probably somewhere a Baseball Hall of Fame and a Football Hall of Fame, and there's various music halls of fame and so on. These places where they celebrate the lives of people who have, as far as the world is concerned, excelled in some area. This is God's Hall of Fame. It's going to outlast them all. Every hall of fame on this earth is going to crumble and be forgotten. But this is recorded for eternity. And so we have characters here who, in many ways, didn't live exemplary lives. That is, in many ways. Overall, they did. That's why they're here. But you can find failures in every life. But they were distinguished by their faith and are distinguished for their faith. Faith honors God. It was the first problem in this world. In the Garden of Eden, man did not honor God by believing and acting responsibly according to what God had said. And so faith is just the opposite of that. Faith, taking God at His word, is he regards as a supreme honor. So the question facing each of us this afternoon is, how seriously do we take God's word? What does it mean to us? You know, there's an old expression, beauty is as beauty does. And faith is as faith does. How seriously, to what extent, do we base our lives on what God has said?
If you just turn to John chapter 3, there's a real nice definition of faith that we often turn to when we read this chapter in Hebrews. And it goes along, John, right with what you were saying. John chapter 3 and verse 33. it says, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Faith always has to be based upon something. And the validity of what it's based on will be a test, as it were, as to the sureness of that faith. And our faith is based upon who God is and what He has said. So he that receiveth His testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Everyone in Hebrews 11 that we're going to read about had decided that God's testimony was worth believing and that what God said was true. And so they based their actions upon who God is. And that's the basis for faith. Faith puts confidence in what is sure.
I like the example in Romans 4 of Abraham 2, along with what's been said. If we read a few verses there in Romans 4 about Abraham, verse 16, it says, therefore it is of faith, that it might be of grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not as to that only which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, this is Abraham, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. It's a beautiful example here of Abraham and his faith and the explanation of it. He believed what God had said, and he said it to seal that his God is true. And in testing, it was tried, but he believed God rather than circumstances. And God honored that. And so as it's been said, it glorifies God when we believe Him.
Harvey's translation, it says, God who quickeneth the dead, that means he gives life to the dead. That's amazing in itself, but that's what God does. God gives life to the dead. And if you're a believer here, you're a living miracle. God gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not. In other words, they're things that don't appear in reality, the reality we know. As, the Darby's translation doesn't say if or though, it just simply says as being. God calls the things that be not as being. God has an alternate reality that we're not aware of. And God's faith is seeing things God's way, seeing things as God sees them. We can't see things the way God sees them by nature. Only as God reveals them to us. God sees everything. And he reveals a little bit of what he sees to us.
And when we accept that vision, that's seeing things God's way. When we accept that revelation from God.
Chapter begins explaining to us what faith truly is, because without understanding the first verse, the rest of the examples are not really that important, is it? So we have to truly know what faith is, and it starts off by telling us that faith is a substance of things hoped for. Or things that you hope for, you wanted to be able to substantiate that. And evidence of things, and I believe the Darby used the phrase, the conviction of things not seen. So if you look at proofs first, and that's what we call scientific, you need proofs, well, that's not faith. Faith is things that we don't see, but yet we believe. Faith is a very important part of our Christian life. We find that it is by grace we are saved through faith. And then we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we see all these connections together, and above all, we can gain more faith, and we find that even the little measure of faith that we have is given from above, isn't it?
I struggled with this verse for years, trying to understand it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the conviction of things hoped for. And then I had an interesting experience. I was working with a fellow named Brian. Young fella, and graduated from high school and came to work where I was working and at Bible Truth Publishers. And as soon as he saved up enough money, he bought himself a nice motorcycle. And he rode that motorcycle to work for a year, and all of a sudden it disappeared. And I said, "Brian, what happened to your motorcycle?" And he said, "Well, you see, I want to get married, and I want a honeymoon." What happened? He had met this girl named Laura out in New Jersey. That's where they live now. And he had a hope. Notice what the verse says here, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So he had this hope. And Laura made a promise. That made that hope real to Brian. It substantiated that hope. It made it something he could work with. It's when Laura said, "I will," that hope became real to Brian, and he sold his motorcycle. And when the hope that God has set before us becomes real, it changes our lives.
And the football Hall of Fame or the hockey Hall of Fame, whatever it might be, that's their reward. It doesn't go beyond that. They may have some trophies in their cabinet, but their Hall of Fame is it. And here in chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." All these people listed here, their faith wasn't just to receive a good report. There's something better for them. Moses, he esteemed the riches of Christ greater riches, the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. There's reward coming for them. In verse 35, they didn't want to receive deliverance because that they might obtain a better resurrection. There's a better thing for them. Maybe they haven't received it yet, but that hope led them all the way through their life, and it kept them. And even in death, they still have that assurance that there's going to be a better resurrection. They're going to be made perfect.
Before we get there, I was struck with what was read this morning about Hannah, how she prayed, and she was sorrowful and grieved. She had no son. As soon as she got the word from the prophet, or Eli the priest, rather, she was no more sad. That was faith, wasn't it? She believed what had been said. She had the evidence of things not seen. The word of the priest said, "The Lord give it to you." And it changed her. That's faith. If we wait till we get it, it's sight. I believe it is a simple story. I remember reading when I was a young man of Hudson Taylor, and they were on a journey, and all of a sudden he stopped and said, "Let's thank the Lord for the food." And so he thanked the Lord for the food, and he said, "Well, brother," he said, "what, there, you don't have any food yet?" And he said to him, if I remember the story, he said, "Yeah, but the Lord's going to provide food, and when He does, you'll have to stop to thank the Lord, but I can start eating."
There's faith, believing, and the blessing that follows, and there's unbelief. I think the example of that was in the Garden of Eden when God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they acted in unbelief. And what a tremendous curse. Think of the results of the unbelief, the response to the Word of God, and the unbelief that they expressed, and the results of that followed. It was the destruction, you might say, of the human race. But, you know, God has now offered blessing through His Son, the Lord Jesus, on the cross. But He makes that blessing dependent on faith, doesn't He? If man wants to respond to the message of the gospel in unbelief, the result is going to be eternal destruction. But if that offer of salvation is received by faith, then it ends up in eternal life. And so what tremendous consequences can come, and we can bring that down to a very practical level in our lives, can't we? When God promises us things through His Word, we can respond in one of two ways. We can respond in unbelief and lose a tremendous amount of blessing in our lives, or we can respond in faith. Every time we respond in faith, we're bringing glory to God. We're actually saying, "Yes, God is." And we're going to
we're going to get, as we go on in this chapter, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So those who want to react to the promises and to the word of God by believing him are going to receive a tremendous benefit. History of man proves that. If we're so slow to learn that God is worthy of being trusted, his word is worthy of believing, he's worthy of faith, putting our full confidence. We have so many examples throughout the history of man, either of the blessing that comes by believing God and exercising faith, or responding to what God says in unbelief. Every time God speaks, we have to make that decision which way we're going to respond.
Interesting, you mentioned Adam and Eve. With the first, as we know, that the first man on this earth, they're not on this list. Neither is the first man born into this world that will be Cain himself. He's not on this list. They had a chance to be, so we see that they didn't have the faith required. Abel is the first one mentioned there, so we see that in the following verses there were three men that walked in the faith of it. We find in this chapter that it defines different types and different things in connection to faith. And here, let's go back to verse 3 before we go too far away. That's for us. Do we believe what the world tells us? It says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Do we go by what science tells us? Or do we go by what the word of God tells us? And then we find out that science actually back up what the word of God said. Is creation is the word of God. Creation is from God. Let's turn to John chapter 1. Perhaps when we read it now, we'll see a slightly different perspective. We often read that and think the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. But think about that in creation standpoint, how this world came into being. John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Well, how does this world get framed? By the word of God, isn't it? But in the very beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. There's no argument about that. That's what faith is. There's no justification to see how true or how bad it is what God said. Faith is what God said it, I believe it, and thus should settle it. It should be from the word of God. That's why we can read on to verse 3 in John 1. There, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How can the world all form from chaos to nothing? There is a creator, isn't it? And not only that, then it's back to us as man again. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Oh, it's not just creation. There is life in there. So this whole world is framed using the word of God. In fact, let me even take a step further. When we have trouble and difficulties, I would say often it's because our faith is not to waver. We need to believe that God will look after all things. And it's difficult, isn't it, when we waver. So we find here that the word of God, through this book, give us examples. So in verse 4 to verse 7, we find the example of three men who walked in faith. Did they have books to read to prove it? Did they have someone else to convince them? No. They walked with God in faith. And we'll see different characteristics in this book, which I just mentioned it briefly. We'll find in Abraham, what about the patience he had of faith? And we'll find especially Abraham, the Lord bring out different aspects of faith that Abraham had to walk. And then he used example how by faith
I believe, is mentioned 7 times, by faith, how others walked. And then they talk about individual that gone through warfare, as were exalted early on in the last meeting, all because of faith.
When I look at this chapter,
I see that there had to be a starting point with each and every one of them. With that thought in mind for a moment, look at verse 6 of our chapter. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I never pleased God until I believed and trusted in faith in his Son. It was impossible to please him before that because I had rejected the gift above all other gifts up to that point. So the first time that I pleased him was the day I believed and trusted in the finished work of Christ. So we have a starting point with each and every one of these people. Let's momentarily look at our starting point together. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the latter part of verse 12. For I know, our brother talked about the word substance. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What have I committed unto him? Keep our fingers there. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I didn't know much about my salvation when I trusted in Jesus. And then I started reading, I started learning a lot about more things that took place than I realized. I had committed my soul to him as a faithful Creator against that day. Against what day? Oh, there was vows that rang out in heaven. What did he commit to me? He committed the gospel and safekeeping. He committed it to every one of us in here, didn't he? There was vows that rang out. You're my child. You're accepted into the beloved, etc. I believed and I am persuaded that he's the only one that's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Each and every one of these had a starting point. What was the reward of 11 and 6? He's a rewarder of them. Salvation, sure. But there's a reward in that day. The completion of my salvation. I was saved back here. I'm currently being saved now. I will be saved that day. The day that we read in Titus 2 and 13 together this morning. The hope, the blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of our great Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to keep that. I know it. I believe it. I'm persuaded. There's a little word in Jude, verse 1. That we are preserved. Sometimes substance in chapter 11 and verse 1 is changed and translated in other texts as assurance. I am so happy of that assurance that I know and I believe and I am persuaded, and that I've committed it to the correct person against that day when I'm going to receive the completion, the reward of my salvation, and I see my Savior face to face. The parousia, P-A-R-O-I-O-U-I-S-A, Greek. Their emphasis is not on being snatched and taken away from the scene. Their emphasis is upon seeing that blessed Savior face to face. There's my reward. When I'm with him throughout the endless ages of eternity, that's my reward. There's another word, eosa. That means departure, the opposite. We're looking forward at the rapture, his coming, parousia. Eosa was departure when he left. We're going to have an eosa. We're going to depart from the world. Yeah, we're going to be caught. We're going to be snatched away in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. How beautiful that is. Yeah. But put the emphasis over on the other one, the one that's coming here to take me out of this scene, that I'm never going to be down here anymore. I'm with him forever in eternity. And there's my reward on that day. Now I got some substance, don't I? I got assurance. Right there, his word says so. I've committed my soul to the correct one. He's a rewarder.
Introduced to the story of Abel and Cain. If you and I had witnessed Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice, we probably would have been more attracted to Cain's. He offered the fruit of the ground. Abel apparently slaughtered a lamb or a sheep. It was a bloody sacrifice. It involved death. But Abel had God's mind, and Cain didn't. And we need revelation from God to know his mind in order to act in a way that pleases him. It's not according to nature. Like I say, nature would have approved of Cain's sacrifice.
About our responsibility to God as a creator, we have to start out from that. We're not self-sufficient created beings that have no one to answer to. We do, and God has a purpose in why he created and so on, and so we have to start out from that premise. Then John is speaking about the Abel and Cain, and that then the sin question comes in this verse, doesn't it? Cain's sacrifice did not deal with the sin question. Abel's did, and blood had been shed, and that's why God could accept it. We would like to not deal with the sin question. But we have to.
Abel was willing to accept God for who he was, and that was that he was a holy God who demanded a sacrifice or a penalty for sin. And so he was willing to meet God's requirements to be brought into God's fellowship. And that was faith.
I suppose that
the witness to Abel was the coats of skins that God took to clothe Adam and Eve And he saw in that that the death of some of a victim in order to clothe them in a suitable way before God. So that, you think that's where he got his faith from?
Adam would have had to pass that message on to them, wouldn't he? The father has the responsibility to pass these things on to the children. And Adam, there had to be blood in order for him to come back into any sort of communion fellowship with God. Abel, he recognized that by faith. He recognized that there had to be the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins and no forgiveness. And so he recognized he had to shed the blood. And so the blood must be shed for salvation. There must be the acknowledgement of sin. Abel, he wanted to worship God. And so he brought his animal to worship God and to commune with God.
I think it's interesting to notice that in Genesis, I don't believe it mentioned much about Abel other than the sacrifices that we read of. We can speculate to say how Adam should have taught him, or perhaps he could observe and learn. We don't know that. I think I like to take it as here's the good example of what faith is. He believed. He simply believed and he did. And God honored that. It's interesting, in the book of Jude, someone quoted earlier, let's just turn to that for a moment. It doesn't say Abel, but it talks about Cain, and they talk about Enoch. Can they give us a little bit different story, as if it were? Jude, obviously, there's only one chapter in that. Verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Well, we know it from here, the way of Cain really is a picture of man's way approaching God. That's not faith. Cain wanted to do it his way. Perhaps it was elaborate, perhaps it was a nice system of things. We don't know, we're not told that. But that's the meaning here, isn't it? They have gone the way of Cain. It's not my thought to go further in that chapter, but it's instructive to go read that yourself. So I like to take it as that simple faith, whether he understand or not, he did what he was told. And then, as we mentioned here, the three men, Abel, Enoch, and Noah, they walked with God. So we don't know much about Enoch, neither do we. We know that he walked with God. But then in the book of Jude, it told us a little bit more. Jude 14, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 sayings, with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." We didn't learn of this until the book of Jude. We knew he walked with God, but here we find that he was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching the judgment to come. And so that tells us how it leads on. It wasn't just in Noah's day. It was even before that they were warned of the judgment to come because of the unrighteousness. But yet, he walked with God. It was a tough time from the way it sounds, isn't it? Or wasn't it? But yet, he walked with God by faith. Then we find a third man, Noah. He too walked with God. We know Noah's story there. He too was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. That's a long time, isn't it? But he walked with God. It was all by faith. And it's interesting too, Noah speaks of judgment. In this world, often someone will use the phrase, "We're all from Adam." You heard of that. Well, really, to be technical, we can all say, we're from Noah. But yet we don't use that phrase, do we? We use the phrase, we're from Adam. Why do we not use the phrase that we're from Noah? I believe, this is my theory on it, is that Adam speaks of the fallen nature. Adam, as a man, sinned, failed before God. And man, today, would even accept this and say, yeah, so? I sinned. Big deal. That's how corrupt this world has become. But yet, when it comes to Noah, Noah speaks of judgment to come. And this world is not ready to accept the fact that God will execute judgment against this world. So his coming is as it is in the day of Noah.
Think particularly of just thinking of the first and the fourth verses of 165. The fourth verse says, by faith we see the glory of which thou dost assure us, the world despise for that high prize which thou hast set before us. Hymn number 165, first and last verses.